Mark chapter 5, reading from verse 21. Hear the word of God. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he'd entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and shook the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talita kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Friends, this is the word of God. I'm going to invite Des to come up and speak to us about it now.
Good evening. Every new year starts with a big bang, a chain of fireworks displays that starts in Auckland and moves on to Sydney and then right round the world. Last year, my wife Nio and I, we sat on the footpath and pavement for 9 hours, just down from the Sydney Opera House, opposite the Sydney Harbour Bridge, to watch the fireworks display that brought in 2015. Every new year starts with a sense of optimism, of great expectations, of looking forward to great things. But what would 2016 bring? This could be a good year, a year of joy and fulfillment and achievement. Or will it be marked by sorrow and pain? Will we fly through the year as on eagle wings? Or will we drag and hobble our way through it in doom and despair? The truth is, we don't know. We live in a fallen world, and trouble and anxiety seem to be always just round the corner. I want you to look at Mark chapter 5, 21 to 43, and you have been wondering, what an odd passage to choose for a New Year message. The rising of Jairus' daughter from the dead and the healing of the woman that had an issue of blood. In particular, I want to trace Jairus' journey from the time he approached Jesus by the shore of the Sea of Galilee to when he arrived back at his house. What does this have to do with entering a new year? I have taken the title for this message from verse 24. Jesus went with him. We can be assured that Jesus will accompany us on our journey. That Jesus will take us through this year and in the years to come. As Jesus walked with this synagogue ruler, he will come with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that your word is open before us. We're at the start of a new year, conscious that we will need you to guide us and to help us, to support us, to strengthen us, to lead us closer to yourself. Your word is open before us, and we ask that you will speak to us by your word, by your Holy Spirit, that we may be encouraged, that we may be built up, that we may be equipped, that we may go into the new year with great expectations, because you are always with us. Amen. The rising of Jairus' daughter from the dead is an amazing miracle. And we could focus on the power and the sovereign authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we limited ourselves to the miracle, we may miss something of great practical significance. The way the Lord deals with us. I want to look at how the Lord dealt with his father. This will give us a greater understanding of how the Lord deals with us. The Lord not only receives Jairus, but even more significant, he goes with him. The key verse is verse 24. Jesus went with him. It is the journey that I want us to focus on. The wonderful truth of the gospel is that if you are in Christ, you are continually in the Lord's presence. In our Christian pilgrimage, the Lord is always with us. We are traveling in his presence. Now, if the Lord is always with us, does that mean a trouble-free journey? Jesus went with Jairus, but it wasn't plain sailing. The progress was slow. There were delays, frustrations, distressing news. Things went from bad to worse. There was sorrow. There was despair. You know, I get anxious and fidgety when there are delays, especially when I'm late for an important meeting. You can ask my wife. If I had been there at the time, knowing the urgency of the situation, I would be most indignant with this woman. This woman that came up to Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. Get out of the way, lady! This is not the time! This is not the place! We're on an urgent journey! This is a matter of life and death! Come back later! But my ways are not God's ways. And his ways are far bigger and greater than mine. We should be grateful for this woman who caused the delay. That delay caused great problems for the little girl's father. He was confronted with difficulties he could not solve. You can imagine how he felt when Jesus was slowed down to a snail pace. And then the woman caused him to stop. At that point, Jairus would have given anything for sirens and flashing lights. But police motorcycle escorts weren't invented by then. Let's look at the passage and imagine this poor man's rising frustration. Let's put ourselves in his shoes. And we read there in verse 24 at the beginning of the paragraph, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garment?" What? There's a little girl at the point of death, and Jesus is worrying, who touched his garment? Is he serious? The father must have been beside himself and uttering under his breath, come on, let's get going. Look at verse 31. And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me?" If I was Jairus, I would be at the point of yelling. It doesn't matter who touched you. There could be a dozen people touching you. Could we just get on and get going? Verse 32. And he looked around to see who had done it. "I don't think I could contain myself. Come on, someone own up. Please, whoever did it, would you please come forward now? We have been delayed too long. My daughter's at the point of death." But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, the verse 33, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Oh dear. Just what we wanted. The whole story. I can just imagine this lady is one of those people who tell you a story and they tell you every single detail. You know, the whole story, all the details of her condition, every doctor that treated her, how much they had charged, and instead of getting better, she got worse, and how she was ostracized by the community, and how rudely the neighbors had treated her, and how she had suffered for all this time, and how she came to hear about Jesus. The whole story. Jairus must be at this time, at the point of despair. "Come on, lady, you're well now. Get out of the way so we can get going." And he said to her, verse 34, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Good. Off you go, lady. Now we can go and attend to my daughter. We can identify with Jairus because we also go through difficult times. And we go through trials, and we go through very frustrating periods in our life. We too get frustrated at the delays, the disappointments, the fears, the anxieties. I say we should be grateful to this woman who caused the delay, because we see here that the Lord can still solve the problem in spite of it. It teaches us patience. Jesus is at work within us. He is the author and finisher of our salvation, the beginning and the end. He does not start something and just leave it halfway through uncompleted or leaving us to complete it in our own strength. He carries the work to a triumphant conclusion. The salvation we have in Jesus Christ does not just mean forgiveness of sin. It also means conquest of sin. It means triumph. It means freedom. It means victory and ultimate perfection. He is always there to help us get through the dark and difficult times. We don't have to face the trials and temptations all on our own, in the utter helplessness and weakness. But he is there to strengthen us, to guide us, to encourage us. And this is what we need to be looking to as we walk day by day into the future. If you are in Christ, you're not on your own. Jesus accompanies us on the journey. He enters our life and helps us to meet all our needs. Do you have a need? Are you looking for something? Are you trusting Jesus to help you? Do you know his presence with you? At some stage in the coming year, we will have a need. We will be compelled to approach Jesus. We will need to come to him and tell him about the issue that is affecting us. There will be times when we need guidance and help. Times when we are anxious and fearful. Times when we are experiencing sorrow and pain. There may be a time where the need is urgent and we cry out to Jesus for healing and comfort. And this brings me to my second point. How should we approach Jesus? In those times that we have a need, that we recognize our need, how should we approach Jesus? How do we reach out to him when we get into trouble? When you look at the people who approached Jesus, you see that they were treated differently. Some were received with great kindness and gentleness. Their request was granted, and they go away rejoicing. Others are sent packing. Their questions are answered with another question. They go away murmuring, disgruntled, angry, even with some with murderous thoughts on their minds. All the people who came to Jesus fell into these two groups. Why the difference? What made the difference was the way that people approached him. Jairus is received, his request is granted, and he is blessed. He certainly approached Jesus in the right way. So we need to ask, how did Jairus approach Jesus? His daughter was at point of death. He was deeply conscious of his need. It was the awareness of his desperate need that sends him out to find Jesus. Presumably Jairus had already tried the doctors and he had tried all the cures available and nothing worked. He was unable to save her life. Nothing had worked, the disease had progressed, the fever continued, and the situation became desperate. Jairus must have heard of Jesus and his powers, so at last resort he came to him. We read verse 22. And seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." The man was desperately conscious of his need. There was no uncertainty in his mind that Jesus could help him. And as you read the New Testament, you will find all who were blessed by the Lord were all deeply conscious of their need. Remember when you became a Christian. Something convinced you that you needed the Lord Jesus. You became conscious of your sin. Conscious that you needed God's forgiveness. You became conscious that you needed to be rightly related to God. And in repentance and faith, you ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you have not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not in Christ, if you have not asked Jesus to be your personal Savior, do you realize that your need is far greater and far more desperate than this father's need and his daughter's need? We have a problem here. We can all recognize physical needs, but how blind we are to our spiritual needs. Yet the soul is more infinitely more important than the body. In the case of this little girl, it was a matter of the death of the body. But what about the death of the soul for all eternity? And those who were here this morning, remember that rope that went right across the church, illustrating eternity. The synagogue ruler was well aware of the crisis. The death of his daughter could happen in any moment. And you know what? Our death could happen in any moment. Are you ready for it? Have you pinned your trust on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have not done so, realize the desperate situation that you're in and run to Jesus for salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord. Ask him to forgive you your sins and to be your Savior. In this passage, we notice that this man approaches Jesus with humility. He was a ruler of the synagogue, a man of importance, a man of influence, and yet he falls at the feet of Jesus, a carpenter from some town in a backward place, a peasant, a mere nobody. Without exception, all who fell at his feet and acknowledged him and his greatness never failed to obtain a blessing. But the people who came to examine him, to test him, the people who came to try to trick him, they all went away disappointed, confounded, condemned. You may persuade yourself that, well, you're living a wonderful life, you're doing well, you know, I have no needs. Look, I could do with Jesus just for a little extra, you know. Power from on high to give me more of what I want can't go astray. But if you come with that attitude, you will never find him. But come to him on your knees, looking to him, conscious of your own sinfulness and helplessness. Come to him with a broken, humble, and contrite heart, and he will wonderfully display himself to you. There's still something else that we need to note. Jairus approached Jesus in faith and obedience. He believed that Christ can heal and save his daughter. He begs Jesus to go at once and lay his hands on her. He has faith in the Lord's power to heal, and he places himself entirely and unreservedly in his hands. He comes to Jesus, he makes his requests, and submits himself to the Lord. Jairus does nothing but simply follow Jesus and cling to him. He does not complain at the delay caused by the woman. He does not understand why there had to be a delay. He may have been brokenhearted within, but he says nothing. He trusts Jesus. We learn something from this. Jesus does not insist on us understanding everything, but he does require that we trust him and we walk by faith. He asks us to follow him wherever he may lead, in spite of the difficulties we may encounter on the way. This is what we need to do in the new year. This is what we need to do as a habit, day by day, to follow Jesus no matter what, in all circumstances and situations. Are you prepared to enter the new year like that? Jesus, you know the way. You lead me. I will follow. Our journey into the new year will be blessed if we travel with Jesus. He will receive us and come with us when we approach him, conscious of our need, in humility and in faith. Next, we want to know, what will our journey reveal? What will we come to learn about Jesus from this journey? Jesus went with this distraught father. But along the way, Jairus made some wonderful discoveries. When he left home, he had some ideas about Jesus, but he walked back with Jesus and submitted himself to him. He began to discover some glorious truth that he had never even dreamt of. When you grow in an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you walk in step with the Holy Spirit, you will find Jesus very approachable. He will respond to your humble cry as we read in verse 24. So Jesus went with him. He had heard his cry. He had recognized his faith. And he went with him. Could there be anything more wonderful? Could there be any greater blessing than to step in the new year knowing that Christ is with us? That he will travel with us. That he will never leave us. That he will never forsake us. That he will lead us along the path and help us along the way. Jesus receives all who in desperation turn to him in humility and cast themselves upon his love. He has carried your sins on the cross. He has died in your place. He has paid your debt, and he is ready to receive you when you call him. He will grant the desires of your heart. Jesus received Jairus and went back to the sick bed of his daughter. What a great relief. Help was on its way. But then the crowd, the slow progress, the woman, the delay. Jesus had stopped by the roadside and began to talk to her. Verse 35. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Notice the men spoke to Jairus, but before he could say a word, Jesus says, "Don't fear, just only believe." Before Jairus can even think or feel the shock of what has been said to him, Jesus reassures him that all will be well. He is in control. Once you put your trust in Jesus, you're not left alone. As he watched over this poor, worried father, he will watch over you. As we live our lives close to Jesus, we'll become more conscious of his love and his power. We will be more conscious of his grace. We'll be more conscious of his presence with us. Before Jairus went to Jesus, he had believed that he could cure his daughter. If Jesus came to the house, he could make her well by laying his hands on her. In one sense, his faith was great. In another sense, his faith was very small. The ruler of the synagogue had not realized that Jesus could raise his daughter from the dead. that Jesus had all power and that nothing was impossible for him. When they came to the house, there was a great commotion, people crying. There was weeping and wailing loudly. When Jesus tries to reassure them that all will be well, they laughed at him, a mocking laughter. You don't know what you're talking about kind of laughter. Notice what follows. He puts them all outside. He drives out the mourners. He expels the wailers. The girl's father and mother take no part in this. Jesus takes full control of the situation. The enemy of our souls led an attack on this man. The delay. The message to say that all was lost. The organized wailing to pierce his heart. The mocking laughter was all an assault on his soul. It even pitted itself against the Lord himself. The mourners treat him with derision and disdain. When Jairus was overwhelmed with grief and too weak to stand, Jesus takes charge and defeats the enemy. In the Christian life, we are frequently attacked by doubts and fears. All kinds of evil thoughts invades our minds. Left to ourselves, we're helpless to contend with temptations and with the evil powers and forces. In the same way that Jesus took control of this hopeless situation and came to the aid of these poor parents, he can come to our hopeless situation. We can trust him to fight the battles within us. Those evil thoughts, the desires that seem to be so invincible, can be defeated by his power. He is working in us. He is purifying for himself a people zealous for good works. He will deliver you from the dominion of Satan. In him we are more than conquerors. Over the world, the flesh and the devil. In spite of all the hindrances, delays and objections, they arrive at the girl's sickbed and she is raised to life. Jesus completes his objective. In our journey into the new year, where there will be times of great need, there will be disappointments. There will be discouragement. There will be delays. There will be frustration. There will be distressing news. The ridicule and the mocking laughter. In times of fearful anxiety, sorrow and pain, let us be mindful of the Lord's presence with us. Jesus journeys with us. When we confess our need to him in humility and faith, we will hear him say, "Do not fear, only believe." Go into the new year thinking of those words, "Do not fear, only believe." When you're confronted with difficult and hopeless and helpless situations, do not fear, only believe. When you're confronted with great tragedy, do not fear, only believe. Remember that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Have a most blessed year.